Amen. This is Pastor Daryl Bailey. Thank you for coming to be with us tonight at our broadcast for People's Valley Baptist Church. What a tremendous blessing. I hope you had a wonderful Easter this morning, wherever you were attending at. Thank God for People's Valley Baptist Church and all of our family that was able to get together there this morning. Brother David Kahn did a wonderful message for our Easter, our sunrise service. And so tonight, as we talk about the Easter, the disciples' Easter makeover, amen. We'll get back to Exodus. We've got one more in that series, the Book of Deliverance. One more plague. It'll be the last plague that we'll get into, the death of the firstborn. We'll get into that if the Lord doesn't come back next and finish up that series and start into another. But I thank God here tonight. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and have just a short worship time and get into our Easter message tonight as we talk about the disciples' Easter makeover. It was a time when it was a fearful time, and many of the disciples didn't know what to do. They ran, they hid. But thank God it was one of those things where fear once was, courage began to remain. Because they began to take time with Jesus before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I thank God it took care of a lot of areas in their life that they had doubt and misunderstanding. And I thank God as I preached this morning about the foot race to the tomb. And so I thank God tonight, as we look at the disciples' Easter makeover, we'll be coming out of Luke chapter 23, verses 44. It's a lot of scripture. I'm not going to read all of that, but I am going to highlight some of it. And, of course, tonight I'll be putting up a variety of different scriptures up here that I will put up that you can follow along with me as well. I won't put up a bunch of this because it's a good bit of scripture, but I hope that you've got your Bible handy that you can follow along with us and just stay right with us in the Word of God tonight. What a tremendous blessing it is. But I want to invite every one of you to come and be with us at 68 Ledford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia, at People's Valley Baptist Church. Our motto has been for the last 20-something years, back in seminary at Lee College at that time that I attended, and I thank God the Georgia Baptist Association that I attended as well. But I thank God together we're becoming one spirit. The Holy Spirit let me know that unity is one of the most important things in the body of Christ. And I thank God that is one of our models that we have. Together we're becoming one spirit. And we have been for over 20 years at People's Valley Baptist Church. Amen. We're having Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Morning worship at 11 a.m. And of course, Wednesday night there at the church, Brother Bob Carroll, 7 o'clock. I'll be here on Facebook at home, coming on Facebook with those that are shut in. We'll just keep on plugging away, moving forward as best we can. Eventually, we'll have a time where we can start back our Sunday night. Amen. When all of this is behind us, but I'm looking out with a positive outlook. Right now, we're being just like everybody else. We're being careful, even like the CDC. They're even fearful of thinking they're going to be another outbreak. But I thank God we've been very careful, and I praise God for that. And we've had no incidents so far at our church, and we're thankful for that. And I thank God for the way that we're set up, and we're doing everything as safe as it possibly can. A lot of our elders won't come back until we know that it is safe. And so please, you come and be with us, you know, if you can. And if not, you pray for us and tune us in and keep us in your prayers. Tonight, as we look at the disciples' makeover, where fear once was, courage remains. This is April the 4th, Easter Sunday, 2021, the 22nd of Nisan, 5781 of the Hebrew calendar. Amen. Tonight, remember I say it's a good bit of scripture that we'll get into in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 56, in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. We'll highlight through some of that, amen. But I thank God as Easter Sunday 2021, he is risen, praise God. Thank God as we know for all the things that we're doing. We're going to leave it right there for just a moment. And I want you to remember all of those that are lost. Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Heather Bentley, Melissa Ruppel, Mary Pruitt's uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny, Madeline, which is Laura Skate, also Becky Benefield, Kara King, Jake and Joyce Sr., Mark Pratt, Christy Campbell. I want you to continue remembering all these. Rachel Zumach, that we're praying for as well. Kobe Boyd, keep him in your prayers. And I tell you, we continue to, as far as we know, Ressie Bennett as well. And so please remember our widows and widowers, Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Senior, Sheila Senior, Sarah Turner, Elizabeth Boucher, Melinda Grimes, LaVon Underwood, and Linda Adams. Amen. Remember all of these ones, our men, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis. Remember Sam Lewis, he fell. I believe he fractured his left wrist and all. We don't know the extent of all of it yet, but he's in a lot of pain. Please, you keep Sam Lewis. He's our brother in Christ, and we thank the world of him. We missed him today. Keep him in your prayers. Earl Matheson, keep him lifted up as well. Many of our church, you give him a call and check on him as well with his surgery that he had when he fell. Todd Barnes, and also remember John Osher. Want you to remember our uncle Bradford Thomas as well, as he's a widower. Want you to remember all of our cancer patients as well, Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne, and again, my uncle Bradford Thomas, past 15 years with this cancer that he's been fighting. And so please, you keep all of these in your prayers and continue remembering all of those. Remember this coming Saturday, if the Lord doesn't come back at 1 o'clock at the church, we'll have Thomas Lester Boucher, his service right there at 1 o'clock will be a celebration of life for him, for Richie and Foley. And I thank God, each of all the family, I think some of them are coming in. And so please, you remember all of the Boucher family, as we said for them. And so lift them up in your prayers as we have a lot of people. Remember Joanne Cave, keep her in your prayers as well. And don't forget to remember the many that are struggling right now that are still having sickness, all of our frontline first responders. Remember each and every one of them when you pray as well. Father, I thank you tonight for this great honor and privilege. I want to thank you for the time that we had in communion this morning. Lord, how wonderful it was to be in the house of God. And Lord, as we went through communion, and Father, as we had our time of the cost at the cross, Lord, where we take up and we're thinking about supporting as Lord, as this every bit of this 100% goes to the Samaritan purse. Lord, I thank you for our brother in Christ. I thank Brother Graham. And Lord, as he's been in this ministry for a long time, thank you for him and what he stands for the Samaritan's Purse. It helps the many out there across. And Lord, I ask you tonight, God, that you'll just touch this message. Let it be a message that will inspire uplift. And Father, I pray as we worship you tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll look into the many of People's Valley Baptist Church. Lord, as it was a busy day today, many things to do, Father, but I thank you, Lord, as we saw those ones that were there this morning in sunrise service, and Lord, how pleasant it was to be around them and see them, Father. Lord, continue, Lord, as you be with our family that we had just a little bit of short time with them. Lord, it was so good being with them this afternoon. I pray, God, that you'll watch over each and every one of them. Lord, how many kids. Lord, what a lot of kids, Father. Lord, in our family. And Father, I'm just so thankful for each one of their young lives. And I pray that you'll watch over each and every one of them. Steer their direction and guide them by the Holy Spirit of God. That you'll see them, Lord, come to the age of accountability. To come into the family of God. It's our heart's desire that we'll pray for each and every one of them. Lord, as we look for them to grow and mature and get to the age of accountability, Father, where they'll accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I thank you, Lord, for my nephews and my niece. And Lord, each one of them, my brother and sister, all of the children, Father, that are represented there. And Lord, I ask you, God, that you'll watch over them and keep your watchful, strong and mighty hand about them and keep a hedge about them, Father, and give them an opportunity, Lord, in innocence, Lord, to grow up and to mature. And Lord, Father, that you'll just watch over them. And Lord, watch over as you keep this old world away from them with its evilness and along with all of our children, Father, across America, that, Lord, that are being invaded too early with all of this worldly things. And I pray, God, that you'll keep their innocence and keep them away from it, Lord. And Lord, when that time that you have it right for them, Lord, to learn what they need to learn about things of growing up in maturity, Lord, let them learn about you first, and Lord, be one of yours that belongs into the family of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, for each one of our members, part of People's Valley. Lord, I thank you, God, for all of them. Lord, as that we got a lot of 50-plus club members, and Lord, they're a blessing, and we thank you for them, and we ask you to watch over each and every one of them and their children and their children's children, and Father, we just lift up their names tonight. Pray for those that are lost on our lost list, and God, that they might come to the understanding and realization that they're lost and they need salvation, Lord, before it's too late. All of this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you tonight. Amen. As we look tonight, we reach around to grab our song. Amen. Boy, I tell you, this is some of our old songs. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Thank God tonight. The Lord is so good. Happy Easter to each and every one of you. As we look tonight, amen. I thank God as each and every one of us, there are many compelling reasons tonight to believe in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and many books that are out there that have detailed it. Who moved the stone? The case for Christ, the evidence that demands a verdict. I thank God each one of these are excellent books. But I thank God the most compelling reason to believe in the resurrection, if you're tuning us in tonight, of Jesus Christ, can be seen in the disciples themselves. And that's exactly what this message is about tonight. When we look at the disciples' Easter makeover, amen. I thank God where fear once was, courage remains. Hallelujah. I thank God as we look tonight where Jesus was arrested, they all scattered. And I tell you, all but John. When Jesus was arrested, they all scattered. But they all feared they might be next in line and that their fate might be the same as his. But the Apostle Peter denied that he ever knew him. Not once, but three times. Hey. And their response after his arrest was as cowardly as it could have been. But considering the circumstances, you really can't blame not a one of them. Jesus' disciples ran in fear after his arrest. And after his death, they remained in hiding. And I'm sure that they were trying to figure out, you know, what's next? What can we do? And will this thing ever blow over? Well, will we ever be safe? And can we go back to Galilee? I'm sure that they all assumed, man, I wish I could get a new identity. I'm sure that they considered all of the options during that time that they could. And they began to hear the news first from Mary and then from some of the others. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Praise God. Can it really be? This is too good to be true. But dare that we believe it. Amen. Peter wanted to see for himself. And so as I preached this morning, him and John, they were in a foot race. Amen. And so they took off running after hearing the testimony of Mary that she was there and she saw that the tomb was empty. Amen. And John chapter 20, amen. And so Peter wanted to see for himself. So he got up and he ran to the tomb. When he arrived, he saw the strips of linen, the burial shroud lying empty on the floor. And the Bible tells us that he walked away wondering to himself what had happened, amen. And so as we look and realize in Luke 24, 12, amen, the Bible tells us in the scripture, it says, listen, that's all the way to the last. It says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by himself, and departed wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. You see, he had some disbelief. He had some things that He didn't quite understand about this. Now, the other runner was John. And John believed instantly because he saw the napkin and he knew what was taking place, amen. And so I thank God, as we look at this, he really wanted to believe, Peter did, but it was just too good for him to be true. And so, but in the coming days, things begin to change, amen. They saw Jesus face to face. They talked to him. They walked with him. They ate with him. Thomas touched him. And because he wanted to be sure that his eyes weren't playing tricks on him, in the coming weeks, Jesus appeared to his followers again and again, and as many as 500 people, proving to them that he is who he claimed to be, amen. The Son of God, God in the flesh, the chosen Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, hallelujah, and he alone has power over death and the grave. What happened next is that these disciples experienced a radical transformation. They went from being a pack of scary cats to being a tribe of roaring lions. They went from hiding under the cover of darkness in a secret room to boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus in the public square. What could possibly have triggered such a transformation? Amen. That's exactly what this message is about tonight. The disciples' Easter makeover. Praise God. Well, I thank God. A one-on-one real life encounter with the risen Christ. Amen. They had seen him. Beaten beyond recognition. They had watched from a distance as he died. They had knew that he was dead. And then they saw him alive again. And it gave them a boldness that they had never had ever before. Amen. The authorities said that it was a hoax. It was fake news that his disciples had stolen his Bible, a body, and hidden it in order to perpetuate this fantastic lie. I don't know about you, but the first day of April, I began to go in and, man, I'm going to tell you, I said, April fool, you know, there's some fake news out there, but I'm going to tell you, this Easter, this is some news, and every Easter, that is the most authentic and real news that you'll ever hear. There's a lot of reality TV out there that's fake and it's not real, amen, but I'm going to tell you, today is the real thing. It's genuine that Jesus is alive forevermore, but first of all of the disciples didn't buy into it except John did. John saw it from the very beginning. He saw how the napkin was folded in the empty tomb. And praise God, back in those days, as I said this morning, if the master of the table wadded up his towel and he throwed it down at the table, that meant he was done. But if he folded up very neatly and he placed it down, he says, I'm coming back. I ain't done at the table. Amen. Thank God Jesus was letting John, when he saw that, he says, I'll be back. I'll be back, amen. I thank God that we're waiting on him, the church, right now, amen. Any day now, any time now, that he's ready to come back and rapture the church and get us on up out of this old wicked world that we're in today, praise God. But I thank God, all of the authorities said that it was a hoax. They said it was fake news, that his disciples had stolen his body, hidden it in order to perpetuate this fantastic lie. That might have been a theory had his disciples been able to leverage the resurrection myth and the fame and fortune for themselves, but that's not what happened. They didn't achieve fame and fortune at all. In fact, almost all of them paid the ultimate price for the message they proclaimed. They paid it with their lives, praise God. We look and we see the fate of the disciples. Andrew was crucified in Western Greece in 69 AD. James was killed with a sword by Herod Agrippa. Philip was imprisoned in Egypt and then crucified in 54 AD. We see also Bartholomew was skinned alive, beheaded in India. And the one known as James the Less, beaten to death with a club at age 94. And Simon the Zealot was crucified in England in 74 AD. Simon Peter, the denier, died in Rome during the reign of Nero. And the story goes that he requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself worthy to die in the same manner as his master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why were these men who had once been completely paralyzed by fear suddenly willing to pay the ultimate price? They had a disciples' Easter makeover. Man, sounds like one of these things where they go in and tear the house down. Boy, they tore the disciples up. Jesus did, and he began to completely make over with every one of them and began to tell them about what was needed in their life, praise God. These are the things that I'm going to share with you tonight before we get done. It wasn't a lie that they made up You can be sure it wasn't a hoax for April Fool's joke. No, it wasn't. It was because they had experienced a one-on-one real life encounter with the risen Christ, and they saw it with their own eyes, and a man who had been beaten dead was alive again. Amen. Very few people would be foolish enough to give their lives in exchange for a lie. But when you have encountered a resurrection up close and personal, as the disciples did, it changes you. Thank God, I tell you, I experienced one, and it started out when I was 8 years old in 1972 in the month of September down at Blue Springs Baptist Church down there close by North Cobb High School. Hallelujah. Praise God, there are many convincing proofs that Jesus is risen from the dead. If you have doubts about it, praise God, maybe a 25 or 30 minute sermon ain't enough, amen. But I encourage you to dig a little deeper, discover for yourself the consensus among the scholars, amen, because the most convincing proof that has always been the radical transformation of his very disciples himself that took place in the days following Easter Sunday, amen. I thank God, Philippians 2, verses 9 and 11, the Bible says God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ the Lord is the glory of God the Father, amen. Boy, I thank God. As we look and realize that John 3:7, the Bible says you must be born again. Amen. Boy, I thank God as we look here this morning, I'm going to share with you three assurances that you can build your life on the promises of day after day. Amen. Number one, you get a brand new start every day. Praise God. I tell you, a personal encounter with a risen Christ. There is another convincing proof that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And I thank God I'll be the first to tell you that this is a completely subjective proof, praise God. Every one of us, as we begin to look and realize that we believe in the historical truth of the physical resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, and as we believe that 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. As I read to you in Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. Amen. In other words, his is the name above all names. This is what we believe. Amen. And more than that, this is the purely subjective part that we believe that he's not just residing in heaven far away, watching from a distance. Amen. We believe that if we're willing, that he will come into your life and reside and abide within you as he sets up a residence of the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, if you ain't never had this, this will be the greatest makeover for you for Easter today. Just like the disciples' Easter makeover got, you need a makeover by the risen Christ himself that has rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God, every one of you, he will comfort you in the darkest moments, strengthen you in the weakest moments, elevate you in the experience of the of your greatest moments that you've ever had, and he'll live with you in your heart every step of the way. Praise God. I want you to know that I serve a risen Savior, that he's in the world today, and I know that he's living. Praise God. He's alive, and I thank God he lives. The salvation that imparts me with the Holy Spirit of God, but I thank God he lives within my heart is what I'm saying. Every one of us, it's a subjective personal experience that each individual must have for themselves. Amen. It does no good to believe the historical facts about Jesus in an academic sense unless you also experience the reality of his resurrection in a personal sense. Amen. That I thank God that I met him, praise God, on my way down to the cross. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, every one of us, it happened to me many years ago as I begin to experience him for myself. Amen. The Christian life is not about adopting some kind of creed and taking on a new lifestyle and joining some kind of organization. It's about having a personal encounter with the risen Christ. Hallelujah. It's experience a rebirth in your spirit, and it's about becoming a new creation, as Nicodemus told us. Amen. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, you get a fresh start every day. Amen. And so where's the Christian life begin? After you have a personal encounter with Christ, I tell you, guess what happens? You adopt a new creed. You take on a new lifestyle. You become a new member of the church. The cart never goes before the horse. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have experienced Him personally, amen, I tell you, you know that you know that you know that He's risen, that He is alive, and that He is at work in your life, praise God. And now our time, I thank God, as we look and realize that if you receive Jesus into your heart, or whether, I thank God, you make a decision to do it for the very first time, the three assurances that you can build your life day after day, the first promise is you get a fresh start every day. One of my favorite verses, I think, in the scripture we look at, amen, is 31,102 favorite verses. But I tell you, of all the one, Mark 16, that it tells us, amen, go tell His disciples and Peter, praise God. Boy, I thank God, when the angel spoke to the women who had come to visit the tomb, Christ, He told them that Jesus had risen. And then He said, go tell His disciples and Peter, praise God. Why did He specify Peter? Because Peter had blown it in a big way. He denied that he ever knew Christ. And in the very presence of Christ, as Christ was being led away to die, surely in his guilt and shame, Peter knew that it was all over for him. Even if the rumors of the resurrection were true, Peter no doubt felt that things could never be the same again. And so the angel said, in effect, tell his disciples and make sure you tell Peter, praise God. If that angel were speaking today, he would say, make sure you tell Daryl Bailey, amen. Make sure you tell Sister Lita, amen, my wife. Make sure you tell Michael, amen. I thank God, our son, praise God. Make sure you tell somebody that's around you, praise God. Make sure you tell somebody that you know at work, amen. Jesus was dead, but now He's alive, amen. And if Jesus is alive, that means the past is dead and gone. The resurrection of Jesus wipes away the guilt of your sin and the shame of yesterday and forever, amen. Why? Because when He was crucified on Calvary's cross, He paid the price for your sins once and for all, and you can be forgiven every day, praise God. I thank God, as He tells us in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, His compassions never fail, and they are new every morning, praise God. When you have a personal relationship with Christ, you can know what it is like to begin each day with a clean slate, because the past is passed away and today is a new day, amen. And so I thank God. The second promise that we see of an assurance that you can build your life on day after day, you can experience peace, praise God. Well, I thank God, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus first appeared to His disciples, He said, peace be with you, in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then He showed them His hands and His feet, and He said, once again, peace be with you, in John chapter 20, verse 21. Even in the presence of doubting Thomas, when He appeared before His disciples, He said in John 20, 26, peace be with you, amen. Jesus talked about peace many times throughout the ministry. I tell you, I want you to know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, peace is every one of your birthrights out there, Facebook, sermon audio, amen. Your inheritance, amen. It's gift to you. It's yours for the asking, amen. The risen Christ says, peace be with you tonight, praise God, wherever you are over in Africa, amen. Wherever you are over in California, amen. Wherever you are over in Uganda, amen. I thank God, wherever you are in all the parts of the world, praise God. It's a resurrection promise, amen. The one who conquered death can certainly conquer the turmoil of your life. And if you lack peace in your life today, then turn to Him and yield to Him, praise God. Surrender everything that you have to Him. Trust Him with your life. Let Him fill your heart with peace, praise God. Because the past is past. Today is a brand new day, amen. And so you get a brand new start every day. You can experience peace, amen. I thank God because He said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, amen. But it comes to our third assurance and promise that you can build your life on day after day. And that promise is you will never be alone. Amen. Sister Sheila Sr., you'll never be alone. No, you won't. Uh-uh. Amen. You out there right now? Hey, Sister Joyce Coots, you'll never be alone. Hey, any of my widows, you'll never be alone. Amen. Because the Lord will always be with you. Amen. But I thank God, He says, you will never be alone. Among the last words that Jesus spoke are these, Matthew 28, 20, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age, amen. I thank God many of those who heard those words would experience challenges beyond description. Frankly, many of them would die a violent death just as Jesus had. But he gave them his assurance that come what may, he would be there with them every step of the way. And I thank God he has for our life. I thank God the many times in the military that death come my way so close, so many times, so many times. Boy, thank God that he was there for me and he got me through those times that death was so close. Man, I could taste it. I could see it up close and personal, amen. Jesus never promised us an easy path. But this promise that he made, no matter what you face, he'll be with you. And when you fail and when you fall, he'll wipe away your sin and he'll be with you. I thank God, each and every one of you, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, if you're thinking about trying religion, because it might make your life a little easier, I've got bad news for you. That's not how it works. Jesus never promised any of us Christians an easy path. But this promise that he made, no matter what you face, he will be with you. And when you fail and when you fall, he will wipe away your sin and he will be right there with you. Amen. I thank God when your life... Sorry about that. I got a computer back over in the background that that just keeps going off and making a sound. Amen. And so sorry. But I thank God you need never again feel as though you had been abandoned or as though you had no one else to turn to, because he made this promise. He says, I am here with you. Amen. And I thank God you need to ask God to transform you as he transformed these courageous disciples years ago. Amen. I thank God if these promises were not true, hey, we'd be guilty of a hoax far worse than any April Fool's joke and far worse than any fake news that you could ever encounter on Facebook feeds. But I want you to know that this is true tonight. The disciples' Easter makeover was the best thing that ever happened to them because they had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you need this Easter, to make it real for you, to make it a makeover in your life, amen. But I want you to know, if you don't have to take my word for it, you can experience it for yourself tonight. In fact, there's no other option. Our faith is founded on the objective truth, based on the preponderance of evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It was not a hoax, and it was not fake news. There's a good reason to accept the historic of the resurrection, but in this case, the objective truth is not enough. You need to experience the subjective truth. You need a personal encounter with the risen Christ. Most of us here tonight have already had that experience, though maybe we forget to give it a lot of priority that it deserves sometimes. But here's my challenge to each of you on Facebook and sermon audio tonight. Accept the historical truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and ask God to transform you as he transformed those courageous disciples years ago. Ask God to make real the presence of the risen Christ in your life every single day. It's Easter Sunday. It's the day that we proclaim that he lives. He lives salvation to impart. Do you know? Do you want to know beyond any doubt that he lives? Then give him the chance to live within your heart, because he can build your life up day by day. Because the first promise, you get a brand new start every single day. You can experience peace, and you will never, ever be alone. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey telling you tonight, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving these disciples an Easter makeover. You want to give somebody out there tonight an Easter makeover. Lord, if they'll just have a personal encounter with you and ask you to come into their heart and life and forgive their sins, and Lord, let them be the keeper. Let you be the keeper of their souls right here, right now, wherever they are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you tonight for the message. And Lord, I thank you for the scripture of the variety that we use tonight. And making these disciples a makeover, a transformation that took away the fear and replaced it with courageous courage in all of their lives. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.